We seek the protection of God from Shaitan, who has been expelled from God's kingdom of special mercy. Before we start the sermon, we need to be aware that because this is an important act of worship, and because through this act of worship we hope to get closer to God, Shaitan will definitely try to tempt us at this moment. So either we get distracted during the khutbah or we get distracted during the salah. In order to be able to fight off, we need to seek protection of God. And the way to do that is, we make a determination that we shall obey God and we shall seek His strength to fight off this weak, lowly creature, Shaitan, who can only win over us if we are weak in front of him. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We turn to God and we ask for His help and guidance, because we believe He is Allah, the absolute perfect being, the source of all perfection and goodness. And we turn to Him because He is Rahman. We should realize that moment by moment, if we are alive, it is by God's love. If we continue to grow and thrive, it's because of Allah's rahmah and mercy. And thirdly, we seek His guidance and help because we believe He is Rahim. His mercy is endless. It's available to everyone. But only those shall deserve to receive it who believe in Him and who then submit to His will. In the first khutbah, I would like to begin the praise of God by quoting a phrase from the dua of Iftitah, which has been reported to us from the 12th Holy Imam, whose birth anniversary we shall be celebrating tonight. Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada wama kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. We praise God and God alone, because He is the one who has granted us this guidance. Had it not been for His love and mercy, none of us would have been able, because we don't have the capacity, to be able to find the truth, to distinguish it from falsehood, and then to live a life which could then lead us to the end result of that prosperity and the purpose of creation. So we praise God. We praise God who out of His love created us. We praise God who out of His wisdom in this creation designated a purpose. We praise God who out of His knowledge then sent some guides to show us the right path. We praise God that though He has the power to achieve the end result, which is the perfection of mankind by force, but by His wisdom He willed that that end result should be achieved not by force but by choice. In Surah Zariyat chapter 51, ayah number 55 and 56, Allah declares, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِي. I have not created man and jinn but that they may worship me and me alone. That is the purpose of creation. The best way to ensure man achieves the maximum possible perfection, not by force but by choice, is to put for him a goal which is the highest perfection, and that is Allah. And the way to reach that highest goal of perfection is to get closer to the all-perfect one. And the best way to do that is the process of ibadah. I have not created, but with the purpose of ibadah. Lakini, this cannot be achieved by force. If it is achieved by force, then it's a low level of perfection. Angels, robots, animals, they can be given this perfection by force. But humans are unique. They have to achieve it by choice. Perfection achieved by choice is much more superior than perfection achieved by force. So man has to be given time. Man has to be given the facilities. Man has to be given the guide. Man has to be given the plan. So the guides came in the form of the prophets, from Adam right till the last prophet. With the coming of the last prophet, the final guide came, because he brought the most perfect, final, comprehensive message. After his demise, then came the imams, who were to interpret, who were to explain, who were to implement, and who were to execute the guidance left behind by the prophet. One after another, they came, but the opportunities were not ripe. Especially so, people were not ready to support the right guide. Either they didn't know who the right guide is, one, problem of ignorance. Or they knew who the right guide was, but they were overwhelmed by evil forces. They couldn't even show their belief in the right guide, taqiyya. Or no, they knew who the right guide was. They could show, but their numbers were still small for them to be able to do anything. These are the three major problems throughout the history of the imams. And therefore the evil forces always succeeded in eliminating the imams one after another. So the final one has gone into hiding, so as to preserve him up until such time when the conditions are ready, that when he makes his appearance, people are enough in numbers to be able to support him and to fight against evil. By choice, not by force. And hence, in the dua iftitah, we say that Allahumma salli ala waliyya amrika al-qa'im, and then I won't say that name which requires you to stand up in respect. والعدل المنتظر استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله. And that is based on the ayah in Surah Nur, chapter 24, ayah number 55. وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات. Allah has given a promise, and when Allah gives a promise, there is no one who can block him from achieving that promise and fulfilling that promise. Allah has promised. The mushrikeen who were applying force and persecuting the early Muslims, and the Muslims were forced to flee from persecution. They went to Habasha. And then those few who remained then migrated to Medina. But even in Medina, they lived under a constant threat of an attack. The mushrikeen had said, we're going to wipe out these believers. So they used to sleep with their weapons. Day and night they had to carry their weapons, because they didn't know when the attack would take place. And so they asked the Prophet, how long are we going to be in this state? And this ayah came. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ It is the promise of God. He shall empower them such that the righteous will come to rule. One. وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ And then he shall enable them to practice the right faith. وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا And then their state of fear shall be changed to the state of security. Why? Because then they will be in power. Why? Because whenever they will be attacked, they'll be able to defend themselves. And finally, يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا Such that they shall worship me and me alone without any shirk. No shirk in politics. You don't obey a dictator and his desires. You obey Allah. No shirk in economics. You're not forced by a financial system to give riba and take riba. No shirk in social affairs. You're not bombarded with messages of immorality and vices. No shirk in family affairs, whereby an alternative role model of a family is given to you, and the one that is designated by the Sharia is then degraded and disregarded and mocked and ridiculed. Tawheed and ibadah of God and God alone in all dimensions of life. This promise was fulfilled temporarily in Medina and in a limited area in the Arabian Peninsula. But the final fulfillment of this promise will be on the global scale. And hence the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt have said that this ayah refers to the Imam Al-Mahdi. Question: when is this going to happen? Answer: we don't know.
Because the factors involved are such that they are beyond the capacity of normal human beings to be able to understand when the conditions are ripe. The conditions have to become ripe. For this global justice to be established, you need a plan. The plan is ready. Sharia. You need a prophet and a guide. He's ready. Ismuhu, ismi. This son of mine, his name is my name. He's there. He's alive too. The plan is there. The prophet's successor is there to execute it. The problem is the people. People are not ready. When will enough numbers of people become ready? We don't know. How many number in which place shall mature and ripen and grow and reach that optimal level where they qualify now to become the true supporter. We don't know when that will happen. So the challenge before us is to prepare. And that's the message of taqwa. Usikum ibadallah wa nafsi bitaqwa Allah. O community of believers who follow the madhhab of Ahlul Bayt, the message of taqwa is one of the most important motives for taqwa is to be aware that this Imam is alive and is waiting, not only for the command of God, he is waiting for us. And that waiting can be ended if we prepare ourselves by taqwa. You notice this message that was sent by the Imam in one of his correspondences to Sheikh Mufid, and he says, وَنَحْنُ وَإِن كُنَّا ثَاوِينَ بِمَكَانِنَا النَّائِي عَن مَسَاكِنِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Remember this much, Shaykh, that though we are staying away from your cities, but that's because the rulers are zalim and they are hunting and chasing the righteous leaders to eliminate them. So for security reasons, I have to be in ghaiba, far away. Lakini, at the same time, though I'm far, I'm near. فَإِنَّا نُحِيطُ عِلْمًا بِأَنْبَائِكُمْ. We know everything that's happening to you. وَلَا يَعْزُبُ عَنَّا شَيْءٌ مِنْ أَخْبَارِكُمْ. Nothing misses and fails to reach us. Taqwa means I should be aware that the Imam is alive. I should be aware that he's awaiting. I should be aware that the only way to prepare for his arrival is taqwa. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.